Oh, it's time.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Yes, it is Friday, August 21st. And that, my friends, is a good thing. It is 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for news to me. Or as some people call it, sad news. Because, you know, the news is sad. And that's what happens, you know? It's all good. We all are in this boat together, floating along. And as always, there is live chat going on in COM. Just type COM at the terminal, hit enter, you'll be in COM, then hit G for go, and then type Anon Radio and hit enter. Boom. You'll land in the chat room, and you'll be able to hang out with all the cool kids, like Tobe and SMJ, and, you know, Pegasuses and stuff. It's all rad. So, boom. Let's get going. Of course, since it's Friday, I would have read the Guardian, but my magazine gets here later and later, and now I do not have it by Friday, so we're going to have to wait. So, well, I'll probably have to pick a different day to read the Guardian headlines, since Friday just isn't happening. So anyway, let's go ahead and get our feet wet with some
time for tech news.
That's right, Robo. It's time for some tech news.
Time for tech news.
Yeah, so let's go. There's a couple of cool tech stories that have come out today or come out recently that seem pretty cool, something worth sharing. First up, from The Verge, this was on August 11th, this story came out. Boeing 747s still get critical updates via floppy disks. That's right. The Boeing 747-400 aircraft, first introduced in 1988, still receives critical software updates through 3.5-inch floppy disks. The Register reports that security researchers at Pentest Partners recently got access to a British Airways 747 after the airline decided to retire its fleet following a plummet in travel during the coronavirus. Travel plummeted. That makes much more sense. The team was able to inspect the full avionics bay beneath the passenger deck with its data center-like racks of modular black boxes that perform different functions for the plane. Pentest Partners discovered a 3.5-inch floppy disk drive in the cockpit, which is used to load important navigation databases. It's a database that has to be updated every 28 days, and an engineer visits each month with the latest updates. So while it might sound surprising that a 3.5-inch floppy disk are still in use on airplanes today, many of Boeing's 737s have also been using floppy disks to load avionics software for years. The database housed on these floppy disks are increasingly getting bigger. According to a 2015 report, some airlines have been moving away from the use of floppy disks, but others are stuck with engineers visiting each month to sit and load 8 floppies with updates to airports, flight paths, runways, and more. And so there's a 10-minute video if you want to check it out. It's very interesting. So it's like, what's going on? Let's see. Here's a tag on this story. The U.S. Defense Department only ended the use of 8-inch floppy disks for coordinating the country's nuclear forces in October. So October, I guess, of last year? What? Space station is full of floppy disks. Wow. What a trip. This was October 25th, 2019 is when they ran this story. Wow, that's a trip. Now, this is a bit legally, but it also falls into .com-y, so I put it in tech news. And this is basically what we've got is an appeals court has granted a stay for Uber and Lyft to continue operations in California. You may remember Uber and Lyft were leaving California because they were going to have to treat all of their contractors like employees. So that was, they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to pay their employees like employees. They want to treat them like contractors who are contractually limited to only work for them and only for them at appointed times and dates. Kind of like a job. So anyway, the ABC News story says, an appeals court in California granted Uber and Lyft an emergency stay on Thursday, giving the rideshare giants more time to appeal a ruling that required them to classify drivers as employees instead of contractors. The news comes after Lyft announced earlier Thursday that it would suspend its ride-sharing operations in the state of California after a judge said last week that the ride-hailing companies must classify their drivers as employees. Lyft later backtracked, saying they will not halt operations. So, pretty interesting. Right, one more. Here's another. I got two more tech stories. One I really want to get to, so I'm going to read this one fast. So, our friends, however you want to put it, a slightly left-leaning group, questionable source, but whatever. This was an interesting headline. Trump will not rest until he can block randos on Twitter. So this came from Gizmodo, a famous blog site. So how much does Donald Trump hate getting dunked on in his Twitter replies? So much so that amidst unprecedented global and domestic crises, which you'd imagine would be more pressing concerns, he's brought his fight against a handful of civilians on Twitter all the way up to the highest court in the land. Today, attorneys from the Department of Justice, acting on behalf of Donald Trump, the president, have asked the Supreme Court to overturn a federal appeals court ruling and allow him to smash the block button. The battle started in July 2017, when the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia sued on behalf of 7 Twitter users, including a surgeon, a police officer, a sociology professor, and a comedy writer. They successfully argued that Trump violated the First Amendment by denying access to an official channel of government communication. According to the Supreme Court petition, they had all posted replies to @RealDonaldTrump that generally expressed displeasure with the president, though one told the New York Times that she'd never directed a single tweet at him. A New York federal appeals court upheld the decision last year, and the court denied him a rehearing this year. So, let's see if we can get to the meat. Presuming the Supreme Court decides to hear the case, the term starts in October, and decisions aren't typically announced until June of the following year. Perhaps he'll get to block soon enough before it's all over after all. Only a troll would fight so hard over something so stupid, but that's what makes him the best. So, that's our friend. So I want to get into this because this is such a cool story. So I really like this blog, Rachel by the Bay. It's all spelled out, Rachel by the Bay. And this is a tech blog, like a real true tech blog. I love it. I subscribe to the RSS feed, but check it out. Here we go. The title. Oh, here I'm going to put the effects on.
File handling in Unix.
Tips, traps, and outright badness. Oh, yeah. So, check it out. So, skipping the intro, I will attempt to lay down a few things that I keep in mind anytime I'm creating files. First up, write. Is not guaranteed to write the full set of data you hand to it. The first thing it probably comes to mind is, well, sure, the disk might be full, but that's not what I'm talking about. No, this is the whole worse is better thing, where you can get interrupted while you're off in some syscall doing something like writing to a file. Yeah, write can get poked in the head by the kernel and return early with only some of its work done. It's up to you to notice this and restart it. You might notice that write returns an S size_T. Hopefully most people reading this knows values it might return. Most commonly you'll get back a number of bytes you asked it to write. That's good. A bit less common is a -1, which means something broke. Now you have to go around into the error codes to see what error number to see what happened. What fewer people realize is there's a middle ground between everything and nothing. Let's say you call write and tell it to push 16,384 bytes out to a file descriptor. It gets interrupted for some reason. Maybe there's a signal or someone attaches strace or GDB to your process, so it returns a value of 8,192 instead. You have to notice this was less than the value you gave it initially of 16,384 and double back. Note that you can't just restart the command you did before since the first half of your data has already been written. This time you have to tell write to start at the first byte which didn't already get written and adjust the count downward to match. So, wow, this is cool. So, note that originally they had said that e interrupt flag on a short write would be set, but it isn't. It just returns less than what you passed in. Meanwhile, if it does return e interrupt, guess what you get to go do again? Or look up SA_restart with respect to SIG action. The rabbit hole is never ending. So this is just, it goes on for a ways, but it's really fascinating. It's great tips and some tricks. I always find it interesting because when I'm writing stuff for Linux, I don't really totally get what the kernel might be doing. And so when someone writes it like this, it kind of breaks it down into a much easier way to understand. So they go on to a few things, but yeah, so they have a whole spew of things. So just check it out, rachelbythebay.com. It is 10 minutes after, so we're going to play a song, and then we're going to have some fun, talk, enjoy life, get into some more, so get into our global news, because, oh man, there are some doozies out there. All right, so let's see, what are we going to listen to today? I think we're going to listen to... Ah, here it is. Found the record. Now we got to find the song. Oh, this silence. Sorry. All right. Let's do... Ah, that'll be good. That's nice. This is the song called The World I Know by The Collective Soul.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh yes, we are back. It is about 15 minutes past. That means we're halfway through DGC, the Dubious Goals Committee, not to be confused with the football club DGC, which is on the Wikipedia. But, oh man, it is almost that time. So we got to get through our news. There's so much information. You know, there's a lot going on.
I want to hear the music. I want to hear the music.
I know. We're going to hear music. Tobe's coming up. He's got some rad tones and sounds to play. So don't worry. So let's jump back into it. Of course, it is time now for the ever popular, super important stuff we got going on.
World news.
That's right. World news. Oh, before we get into that, big shout out to Calm. There are people in Calm, of course. SMJ, Tobe, Exiled, and X1 just joined. So, yeah. Jazzmaz is frequently in the Calm, too. You know, just tune in. It's always cool. It's always fun. It's always, always. Never boring. Never stale. You know what I mean? It is a good time. All right. So, first up, Israel launched airstrikes against Gaza and threatens war. So, Israel war, this is from our friends at the World Socialist website, WSWS, so Whiskey Sierra, WhiskeySierra.org, dadgum cyber chatters. So, Israel warplanes bombed the besieged Gaza Strip for an eighth consecutive night Tuesday in response. Tuesday? But today is Friday. This news story, suspicious already. You got your days wrong. Anyway, maybe they've got a time machine. Anyway, Israeli warplanes bombed the besieged Gaza Strip for an eighth successive night Tuesday in response to the launching of dozens of incendiary balloons and rockets into southern Israel by Palestinian militants. The airstrikes and drone attacks came as Israel threatened Hamas, the Islamic group that rules the besieged Palestinian enclave, that it was risking war by failing to stop the balloons. The balloons have caused small fires, no casualties, and almost no damage. The Israeli airstrikes, which according to military sources targeted a military base, underground infrastructure, and observation posts belonging to the Hamas terror group, included Hamas observation posts near Al-Maghazi and Al-Barej refugee camps in the southern town of Khan Yunis. So they also hit a United Nations-run elementary school in Gaza where around 1,000 children were present. There were no reports of casualties. So yeah, the story goes on like any story between Israel and Palestine, but oh my gosh, there is so much. It is a terrible, terrible thing. And I thought, you know, the UAE agreement with Israel kind of was going to mellow them out so that they would stop, you know, killing children, but I guess not. All right, now what else is going on in the world? There's so much. What else is there? Well, Alexei Navalny is this guy in Russia who's an outspoken opponent of Putin. And wouldn't you know it, somehow someone put some poison in his tea. So the BBC has a story that was updated just 44 minutes ago, so this is probably the latest and greatest. Russian doctors treating Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny, who fell into a coma after being taken ill on a plane, have changed their minds and agreed to let him be flown to Germany. The doctors in the Siberian city of Omsk had earlier insisted he was too ill to be moved. His supporters suspect he drank poison tea and accused authorities of trying to cover up a crime. A medically equipped plane is waiting to take him to Germany for treatment. Mr. Navalny's team said earlier it was deadly for him to remain in the hospital, and his wife Yulia appealed in a letter to the Kremlin to give permission for him to be flown abroad. Eventually, German medics were allowed to see him and said they were able and willing to fly him to Berlin. Mr. Navalny's spokeswoman, Kira Yarmish, said it was a pity doctors had taken so long to approve his flight, as the plane and the right documents had been ready since Friday morning. Reports said he could leave within hours, but Mr. Navalny's spokesman said his departure would not happen for at least 7 hours, which would be early on Saturday morning in the Siberian city. And so, this is sad news. Let's see. Let's see if we get anything. So, quick roundup of the timeline, because otherwise it'll take too long. April 2017, he was taken to the hospital after an antiseptic green dye was splashed on his face in Moscow. So he's been targeted before with Zelyonka, brilliant green in English, and it looks funny, but it hurts like hell. So it's a bright green antiseptic dye. July 2019, he was sentenced to 30 days in prison after calling for unauthorized protests. He fell ill in jail, and doctors said he suffered an acute allergic reaction, diagnosing him with contact dermatitis. His own doctor suggested he might have been exposed to some toxic agent, and Mr. Navalny said he thought he might have been poisoned. December 2019, Russian security forces raided the office of his anti-corruption foundation, taking laptops and other equipment. And then, now we've got this. So, him and Putin are not friends, and it seems like the individual versus a large state, the individual is losing. Is there other news? Oh, yeah, you know it. Macron and Merkel offer EU mediation for Belarus's election standoff to work along with Russia, trying to assuage those fears. And then there was an emergency ECOWAS, or ECOWAS, so Echo Charlie, Oscar, Whiskey Alpha Sierra Summit, calls for reinstatement of Mali's President Keita. So an emergent summit of the West African bloc. So this is the, that's what West African is, the WA part, called Thursday for the reinstatement of Ibrahim Boubacar Keita as Mali's president after he was deposed in a military coup on Tuesday. Hey, we talked about that. West African leaders said they would soon head to the country amid growing concerns about regional stability. So it's very, it's pretty great. I love seeing the, I'm glad that they're getting together and hopefully working on it. They have the video of the Zoom meeting online if you want to check it out on France 24. Okay. So what else do we got? Is there other world news? What's happening? Come on, Marcus. Tell us. There is so much news. You got to have more. Well, you know, in Thailand, how they have a monarchy. Yeah, you know, we talked about that one guy getting charged yesterday. Well, guess what? Increasing tensions between the military-backed ruling class and the student-led democracy movement have prompted massive rallies in the capital. Upwards of 10,000 people participated in the rally, according to organizers and law enforcement. The event attracted a myriad of groups, including feminist and gay rights organizations that are typically out of frame in Thailand's conservative culture. The demonstration's chief themes were self-government, civil liberties, and the economic devastation wrought by COVID-19. So, way to go, Bangkok. Way to go, Thailand. Way to go, Bangkok. Hopefully, you don't have troubles. Or hopefully, they don't use facial recognition technology and round you guys up and disappear you. So scary because it happens. All right. So much going on. All right. So that takes care of most of our international news. There's a few others, but, you know, there's so much, and there's not a lot of time. You know what time? You know what? How much time we do have, though? We have enough time. Go over here, sort by duration. Oh, we do. All right. Wrong. Sorry, I'm looking at some settings, and I'm like, this doesn't look right. What is happening? What's happening? Somebody, who's on the line? Whoa, what is happening? AGK is joined comm and dumping a whole shitload of text in comm. What the fuck? I guess this is spam. Yeah, that's kind of lame. Yeah, we are getting bombed. Gross. Alright, well, avoid comm for now. There is a ton of garbage being spammed into the chat. And I was like, what is going on? My terminal is scrolling like crazy. Anyway, if you didn't know, you are listening to News to Me.
This is News to Me with DJ Marcus.
Okay. Well, it might be 20 lines to you. It depends on how wide your terminal is. If my terminal is typically 55 characters wide, so, yeah, and my buffer, it's like 20 lines, so anyway. Okay, it's all groovy. I was just like, what the heck is going on? I was going to say hi, and then it was like, oh no. Well, that freak out ate up the time for the song, so let's go ahead and keep on going. We've got so much news going that it's just going to be time for talking about news.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
So the big domestic story going on is Louis DeJoy and the U.S. Postal Service. Now, our good friends at the Postal Service, all the letter carriers and those workers really want to get the mail to us. But the head of the Postal Service, I don't know what's going on. Oh, sorry, AGK, I didn't mean to call you out and be freaked out. I was just like, what in the book is going on? This tech, anyway, it filled my screen a couple times, so I got weirded out. What was I saying? Yeah, it's hard for me to follow calm or it's hard for me to follow like fast-moving text and read the stories. It throws me all off. Anyway, our friends at the Postal Service. Sorry, AGK. Bye. Anon Radio. I'm frustrated now. I'm all over the place. Anyway, let's just say the post office is in deep shit. And so Louis DeJoy got called in front of Congress. And if you don't know, welcome back, AGK. If you don't know, Postmaster Louis DeJoy is a high-dollar donor to President Trump who had no other reason to be in charge of the Postal Service. So, in general, here's what we got. He said, the Postal Service will deliver every ballot. DeJoy, who has given more than $1 million to the GOP and committee supporting the president, told the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. DeJoy added that he supports mail-in voting, a practice which Trump's routinely attacked, while availing himself of the practice, and plans to vote by mail himself this November. Okay, I'm not going to read this Salon article because it is, like, full of hate. It's very angry. We're going to go over here and jump to one of the million other postal stories because this is, like, a huge thing. What is going back? Funny. I don't know what's going on. I can't follow. All right, so truth out. They are running short on money, so I gave them $20. But anyway, truth out's a great site if you want some neutral journalism. Despite a promise from the United States Postmaster General Louis DeJoy to suspend his controversial efforts to reform the United States Postal Service, workers and management at post offices across the country are being told they can't reinstate mail sorting machines. An internal USPS email obtained by CNN told postal workers not to reassemble the machines without authorization from leadership. The quote says, please message out to your respective maintenance managers tonight. They're not to reconnect, reinstall machines that have been previously disconnected without approval from HQ maintenance, no matter what directions they are getting from their plant manager. And then the message, although the order specifically prohibited putting machines back to work, at least one facility in Dallas, Texas, attempted to reinstate its mail sorter. However, it was unable to do so because a required part for the machine was missing. Very interesting. So DeJoy has defended his reforms, including decommissioning more than 600 sorting machines, as necessary to reduce costs for the USPS. But a number of these changes appear to be directed at hindering mail-in voting in time for this year's presidential election. Recent comments from President Trump after DeJoy received widespread criticism heightened those suspicions. DeJoy is set to testify before Congress today, so I think he did already, to discuss his controversial adjustments to USPS. So that's all the time for news to me, but that will take care of it. So thanks for listening and all of that jazz. Here's the exit sound. Exit sound. I'll see you guys on Monday.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.